The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we're back here and Analyze This on programming notes for tonight on Channel 12 WTJX. You got the PBS NewsHour from 7 to 8. Then you got Washington Week with the Atlantic, half hour, 8 to 8:30. In conversation with AARPVI, 8:30 to 9. Great performances at the Met, right? A three-hour deal tonight. Okay? Enjoy the late Jack Heggie masterpiece based on Sister Helen Preja's memoir. Okay? Great performances at the Met. 9 to midnight tonight. Know what I'm saying? So enjoy that one. But before that, you get the NewsHour at 7, Washington Week at 8, and In Conversation with AARP at 9. Normally, right, we'd do the Wealth Track on a Friday night, but not tonight. Yeah, we do, with Consuelo Mack Wealth Track. Yeah, we normally do that, right, along with Firing Line with Margaret Hoover, but not tonight. All you're getting tonight is Washington Week and In Conversation with AARP. And we normally have 4 half-hour shows on Friday, but tonight you get 2 because we have an extended Met performance tonight going from 9 to 12. And I sent this article from out of the Anguillan, which is, let me make sure I get this right. The story about Anguilla annexing Crab Island, which is Vieques, and some of the history that goes with it, right? And the Anguilla newspaper is theanguillan.com, and it's an independent deal. I think it they knock that out once a week over there in Anguilla. So, you know what I'm saying? I apologize for being the history buff that I am, but it is what it is, man. I know you love me, so you're going to love all of me. You know what I mean? You'll get a little that history buff of me. So we got the Enterprise Zone folks, Miss Nadine Machina Ken joining us this morning. Good morning, Miss Ken. Glad to have you on.
A pleasant good morning to you and a pleasant good morning to the people of the Virgin Islands. It's a beautiful day in the Virgin Islands.
It is.
I have with me today Mr. Wayne Scott Jr. He is the Enterprise Zone Specialist for the island of St. Croix.
Good morning,
Mr. Scott. How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing very well. How are you doing today?
Good. Glad to have you on Analyze This this morning.
Did the Anguillan, I haven't seen the article, but did the Anguillan speak about St. Croix being part of the letter that was written to take both Crab Island and St. Croix?
I love when I am. That's why I tell people when I get here at 8, I try to be more knowledgeable by 10 a.m. in the morning. So all you're doing is hooking me up, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Now, apparently, what I know, based on what I read, is the Anguillans had consistently refused the offers of lands in St. Kitts, Bahamas, Jamaica, Barbuda, St. Croix, etc. Right? They chose to settle in the Virgin Islands, right? Which were not much more productive than Anguilla, and they were certainly seduced by Crab Island / Vieques. So it's a nice article. It's interesting how back in the day they wanted to annex little Vieques, want to take advantage of Vieques. Anguilla want to take advantage of Vieques, you know what I mean? But it's all right, though. Everything good now.
I think what happened, well, the time period that I am thinking of, and I don't have notes in front of me, certainly, but the time period I'm thinking of, Anguilla was in charge of a good amount of islands throughout. They were the headquarter, for lack of a better word. And Virgin Gorda, people had moved from Anguilla to Virgin Gorda. And so you have names like Marco and so forth. And so they had written a letter because they wanted to move off of Virgin Gorda and they wanted to move to St. Croix and to Crab Island. And take those islands. And so you have people like Marco that then gets a good amount of land in St. Croix and then those that went to Vieques. So it was a very interesting time period. You see settlements across, you know, from what is the British Virgin Islands to directly to St. Croix. And so you have certain families that, you know, the last names would make sense when you look at that 17, it was the 1719 census? 1717 census.
17 census, yeah. You got to hear. Well, actually, the this story written by, well, it's a lecture, right? That was delivered by Mr. Timothy Hodge, right?
Yes, I know him well.
You know him well? Okay, good. Yeah, this is a 2013 story, right? From Friday, February 8, 2013, right? And he references, and by the way, Mr. Scott, don't hold it against us, but I just wanted to...
He's a custom.
I wanted to appreciate history because it's a beautiful thing. You know what I'm saying? So we're good with that. But this is a nice article, and it speaks to three attempts to colonize the island. The first one in 1683, the second one in 1688, and then the next, which was 5 years apart. But then the next one was in 1717, which is 29 years later. And it's interesting how this whole thing came down. And you're right, you know, he breaks down the first, second, and third attempts. And August 26, 1717. Well, before I get to that, there was a petition, right? The petition was signed by 42 persons, most of their names still common in Anguilla today, right? These include Hodge, Harrigan, Gums, Bryan, Lloyd, Richardson, Smith, and Lake. You know what I'm saying? We can relate to that. You know what I mean?
And you see some of his descendants are still in St. Croix today.
Yeah, man.
So that is that tie that you know, the Harrigan family for sure.
That's right, you know what I'm saying?
You know, right there. I mean,
it looked like Vieques are fight back. You check on Puerto Rico. Right, Puerto Rico fought back because on February 10th, 1718, the Spanish from Puerto Rico arrived at Crab Island, right, to defend themselves, right, with one man of war, six sloops, and 300 soldiers. To let them know, look, no, don't come here, right? Don't come here. So that's good. Anyway, we got to shift from, go ahead.
That brings us really to why we're having this discussion today.
Well, that's why I'm talking to 300 years later. Educate me and my audience, man.
So we certainly, as we study history, and you know I'm really into history and so forth. And studying history, when we look at land ownership and property ownership, it is something that has come down from before enslavement ended. Right? But certainly when thing ended, we had, when emancipation came, many people of color started buying property. And these properties have been handed down from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
People don't know that. I mean, there is a beautiful paper written by George Tyson. I'm going to see if I could get that paper for you. But it speaks to immediately people purchasing on the island of St. Croix, people purchasing property. Of course, you had people who were already free before emancipation. And buying property was something that really brought you up to the next level. Having said that, these properties are there today. When we look and we go through and we do our surveys and we see who owns, these families are handed down from generation to generation, but the issue is that it's not handed down legally. So the deeds are not transferred.
And those who are the beneficiaries receiving these properties, some may not actually have the wherewithal or are prepared to manage properties.
Some of them don't even know.
Here it is.
We've had a situation where, you know, this lady, and she moved from, she's a Crujon, and she moved to upstreet St. Thomas. And she had, I think, 10 to 11 children. And many of the young men left to go to serve in the military. Right? They did never come back. Some of them never came back to the island. And so one of them ended up in Wyoming. He had children, he had grandchildren, great-grandchildren. He's long past. Great-grandchildren now. They had no idea that there are potential heirs of a property.
Wow.
And, you know, so somebody here, who knows, was continuing to pay the property tax. Somebody else would change it in their name to pay the property tax. The ownership didn't change, but who would receive the bill would change. You know, some of these people don't know that they have cousins. Mm-hmm. That, you know, it's just, it's a tangled web, right?
Without a doubt.
And so we are trying to work towards preventing it from happening in the future and trying to resolve it, you know, resolve the issues that we have existing. So thankfully, we've received a grant. And this grant is helping us. And we're doing a pilot program where we're working with families to resolve their problems and then using that to sort of show examples to others on how you go about, if your situation is like this, how you go about resolving. Of course, every situation is different.
Unique,
right?
unique unto itself. Unique unto itself.
Exactly.
Generally. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I wanted to bring Mr. Scott in to ask him, as someone who is into estate planning and all that stuff with the Enterprise Zone, what's our biggest obstacles right now, specifically here on St. Croix?
I would say probably probate issues. And, you know, like Nadine was saying, a lot of people don't, especially in the Christian set and Frederick set, in the towns pretty much, they don't know that they are an owner of a building. So in Christian set alone, I ain't going to drop no names, but there's a few buildings in Christian set from when I was younger that, you know, had stores in them, and we used to go to them for certain things. But nowadays, the building's somewhat vacant, and it's turning into ruins. And a lot of people don't know that they own the building, and when they do find out, money becomes an issue. A lot of people can't just come up with the funds to fix this building, or the family can't come together to come up with a solution to rehabilitate the building and stuff like that. I would say that's the biggest issue. Working in the Enterprise Zone right now, that we have trying to rehabilitate these buildings. We're trying to work with the families to get something done towards fixing the building.
What are the parameters for the Christian Set Enterprise Zone right now?
You mean the boundaries?
The boundaries. I apologize.
So the north boundary, the south boundary would be the bypass. The north boundary goes along the whole boardwalk from Gallus Bay up until Richmond. The northwest boundary is the block after the post office in Richmond. And the east boundary, of course, is Gallus Bay going up to the bypass. There's a lot of corners, you know, so it's hard to just name every street on each boundary. But that's the four boundaries. Simplified.
Bypass to the south.
Mm-hmm. The east would Gallus Bay Road.
Gallus Bay.
The north would be the ocean.
Yeah. Right. There's the stoplight by the bypass. Eastern suburb.
Yes.
Eastern suburb. Absolutely. That area there. And then you say the Richmond post office up here, up in Richmond, or the post office down in the heart of town.
No, the post office by Richmond.
The post office by Richmond. Okay, up there by Thrifty, the car rental.
Yeah.
Oh, not Thrifty. Olympic, right? What's it? Olympic. Olympic, right? And then to the north, the water got the shoreline.
Yeah, the north would be pretty much a shoreline up until Richmond.
Okay. Good. Alrighty. You got Enterprise Zone down in West, Ms. Machena and Mr. Scott?
Yeah, so it's...
Absolutely.
What's the boundaries? I learned quick.
No, go ahead.
Yeah.
So the boundaries for Frederickstead is a lot more complicated because they have, you know, a lot of corners and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the most western border, of course, can be the oceanfront.
Strand Street.
Yeah. Yeah. The north border would be... the fort, and the west is Strand Street. North is the fort.
Mm-hmm.
East is, I think it's
we go up to Polly Joseph Stadium.
It goes on
Marzo. Yeah.
Polly Joseph Stadium is to the north and heading east.
Yeah. And the south would the police station.
The police station.
All the way down to.
That's up there by Mars Hill.
Yeah, Mars Hill.
By the what we don't call it, Annie Remsen Bus Yard. right up there. Okay, and that's to the south, right? And to the east is what?
Yeah. It would be, anything was the street name, oh gosh.
No, we can walk with it. We can figure it out. It could be East Street, for all you know.
Yes, it is East Street.
See? Just stick.
But it's going behind Emancipation, so it's a street behind Emancipation.
That could be New Street. That could be New Street.
Mm.
Up there by the graveyard is... The graveyard is where we got Moravian Church up on the graveyard. That's all part of the Enterprise Zone, Miss Machina.
Yeah.
Right, and then we're heading up towards where Mars Hill begins, because Mars Hill begins at the post office. Right, and then Mars Hill is one of the bigger estates down in Frederickstead, and so you're saying that we take Emancipation Drive all the way up to. The police station and Upper Mars Hill, and that's the south boundary. Okay, that's
no cool. Mars Hill is. Emancipation Drive is not the east boundary. You know, it's the road east of Emancipation.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But remember now. Remember now. Yeah. If we using the police station as a south boundary, right?
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. In order to get from
it's east boundary. That would be around the southeast boundary.
Southeast boundary, correct. You're absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. And then we would head north.
Absolutely.
We would head north towards the post office. Where we get into Frederickstead Town proper. Right on the corner there. You got post office down there in the corner. That's actually the most northern part.
On Fisher Street.
There you go. There you go. Right? And that's good.
I'm not looking at a map right now. But
No, you're right. It is Fisher Street. It is Fisher Street. And then you could come down to Prince Street, which takes you across, and you also hit Queen Street, King Street, and then Strand Street when you're heading west towards the water. So it's all good. By the way, when we come back, we're going to talk more estate planning, and we're going to give some... Are we in the business of encouraging folks to contact the EDA? Because if we have probate issues and folks who may not even know that they might be heirs to property, we would want to give them some contact information so they could call somebody to get some direction, right? That's what this is about?
Yes.
We're going to talk about the conference, yeah. So
okay, good.
Get something to write down.
Because there is an estate planning conference coming up, and that's what we're dealing with. So we'll take a break. We got Miss Nadine Machina Ken and Mr. Wayne Scott Jr. Joining us this morning from Economic Development Authority. We'll take a break. We'll be back right after this.
St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
Weekday mornings are a juggle, sometimes even a struggle. Morning Edition from NPR News eases you into your day and keeps you company through the chaos of a busy morning. Hear interviews that give you context on the day's biggest stories, along with reporting and updates on the latest breaking news. Stay on top of the world with Morning Edition every weekday.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
Human beings have been making music for tens of thousands of years. It brings us together. It has the power to communicate emotions and ideas. It's a profound part of the human experience. Hear the stories behind the music you love and new music you might fall in love with. I'm Raina Duras. Join me for in-depth interviews with artists who are continuing that musical history on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we are not afraid to stand up to the high and mighty like Jeff Bezos.
He had that big cowboy hat on. He looked like a shrink ray had hit Garth Brooks.
I'm Peter Sagal. Join me as we speak truth to power, at least until power agrees to buy us out, on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we're back here on Analyze This, and we got the good people from the Economic Development Authority, Enterprise Zone. We got Miss Nadine Machina. But you Miss Gens in Thomas or St. Gray?
I'm at St. Thomas right now.
Good. And Mr. Wayne Scott Jr. joining us from the Big Island, or you're in St. Thomas too?
I'm on the Big Island, Freedom City.
You're on the Big Island. Glad to have both of you distinguished Virgin Islanders, like out of St. Thomas. Miss Ken, Virgin Islanders, right? Because, you know, and St. Croix is a Virgin Islander. You know what I mean? That's just, you know, the beauty of the Virgin Islands. Here, we're talking estate planning. Got a conference coming up, Miss Machina. Can give us some details, if you will.
The conference is coming up. It will be, Mr. Scott knows better than me.
So, Mr. Scott, hold on there. We take care of the ladies. You know what I'm saying? So we gonna yield. We gonna yield to Wayne Scott Jr. Mr. Scott, the details, if you will.
All right. So the estate planning conference will be held next week, Wednesday, on March 20th, from 5:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. It will be two locations. You could watch it. You could attend it in person on St. Croix at the University of the Virgin Islands Great Hall and in St. Thomas at the Lutheran Church in town. You can register online. Keep in mind the registration is mandatory. And just a note, I had about four calls yesterday. The auction was registration free. It's a free event. All you have to do is register. And registration is mandatory. And space is also limited. So you could register by phone. You'll call the St. Croix or St. Thomas number. The St. Croix number is 340-773-6499. Again, the St. Croix number is 340-773-6499. The St. Thomas number is 340-714-1700. 340-714-1700. And you can also register online. Our website, which is www.usvieda.org. And Nadine, what's the other form of registration? I think it's a QR code.
There's QR codes available in the print media, whether that's online or physically. In the print media, there are QR codes that you can use that with your phone to register as well. And the location in St. Thomas for the in-person is at the Frederick Lutheran Church, Bethania Hall.
I got a text message from one of my listeners, and they said, good morning. This is why we have so many derelict properties on all three islands. The governor's town hall in St. Thomas on August 23rd tried to address this issue with the new program they put in place, but the problem is the program will still delay this issue by many years. The buildings will continue to decay. I visited Spain, and if you cannot have buildings and you cannot have buildings in disrepair, If you can't afford to repair, they provide programs to assist you. And if that doesn't work, they will make you sell so that the town's value is not impacted. That is a perspective from one of my listeners. Can I get a response? First one from Ms. Ken.
The response is that, you know, we are encouraging people to take action and to step up and do what you need to do. You may not be speaking to your sister or to your cousin or something like that, but you can do things to assist and bring that property back up to levels. You can show interest. The legislation is really geared and focused on properties that nobody is paying attention to. But you can pay attention to your property. You can step up. People have applied to us to get bought up, to secure your property. You could go ahead and clean the yard, stuff like that. This is for that legislation is really the last resort, in all honesty, the last resort. And, you know, I think people need to be able to step up and do something. If they step up and do something and show that somebody is paying attention to the property, then this would not be occurring. So that is my response. You know, don't sit down and say, oh, well, I got too many people who own this. You're one of those potential heirs. You need to step up, secure the property, get somebody help, ask for help to board up. You know, we boarded up properties before. You know, board up or do something so that it is not a crime of opportunity. It is not a situation where, you know, I'm scared that somebody gonna move in next door, squat, and then cause a fire that could harm me next door to you. You know, these are the things that, you know, the people of the Virgin Islands need to take action. And because we are passively sitting by and a property home and you don't want to touch it because your cousin who you don't speak to, you know, I'm being frank today, you know, the cousin you don't speak to, you know, own part of that. Yes. But let us not throw out the baby with the bathwater, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is properties that your great-grandmother fought and worked hard to get.
Grandfather, too.
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna allow you to get away with that one there, Frank. since your name is Frank, this man, and I want you to recognize grandpa, great grandpa, and grandpa. Okay.
Yes. So you know, it's not often that I will say, you know, we need to step up. Let's stop this thing about, oh, we are not gonna do anything because it's gonna benefit our cousin. Stop. Board the house. Keep your receipts. Make copies of that.
No, meaning that boarding thing, man. We got to do what we could do. You know what I mean? In particular, in talk areas, man.
But yes,
you know
what I mean? Yes. But you know, sometimes the part of the challenge is that people might be interested in doing work, but they can't get a loan because they don't own. You can't get a grant because you don't. There's not one group that owns, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it was an LLC or something like that. You know, you could get a loan, you could get grants. If we have a disaster, these buildings are again going to be damaged and there are no grants to help because there are too many people that own.
No, Mr. Scott, let me get you back in the full car. Frank getting passionate, and I like the passion, but I want her I got to coach her this morning unless she spread it out over time and not just, you know, exert too much energy in a short amount of time. So, Frank, you take it easy, okay? Because since you're being frank this morning, Ms. Machina, right? You take it easy. Mr. Scott Jr., the big issue, are you familiar with Title 33, the Virgin Islands Code, Section 3095? You familiar with that, Mr. Scott?
Briefly, that's the same thing you're talking about here with Nadine, with them using nonprofits and taking over. Well, not necessarily taking over buildings, but rehabilitating buildings that might be rehabilitated or blighted areas.
Actually, Title 33, Section 3095, is a loan program in the Virgin Islands for mm-hmm. for reconstruction and rehabilitation of properties in our historic districts. And it's a fund, right, that allows for, folks who own property in these areas to get loans for rehabilitation purposes. And for some reason, it's not well known. You know, I'm familiar with it. When I first became a senator, Richard Nix, my researcher, tipped me to it. We actually changed the name. The original name was the Christiansted and Frederickstead Reconstruction and Rehabilitation Revolving Fund. But we changed it to the Virgin Islands Historic District because 20% of the monies is for St. Thomas, the Savan area, right, Ms. Ken?
That is correct.
Right.
Not only Savan, though. I think it's for the entire historic district.
The historic district, right? It's 80 on St. Croix, 20 on St. Thomas, right? And so my thinking was that why name it Christiansted and Frederickstead if Charlton Alley, right, is eligible as well, right? So we changed the name. Of course, I got beat up for that, but, you know, people can't help themselves. Anyway, the interest rate on the loans shall be at a rate not more than 4% per annum, and the maximum life of such loan shall not be more than 30 years. If you're not familiar with this, Mr. Scott, my suggestion is that between now and Wednesday, you look this up and make this information available to those who might be interested in borrowing money to rehabilitate, reconstruct properties in our enterprise zone areas that fall within the historic districts.
Okay. I said Title 33.
Title 33, Section 3095. Okay. Okay. Here we go. Title 33, Subtitle 3, Chapter 111, Section 3095. So 33, Subtitle 3, Chapter 111, and the section is 3095. And Title 33 in the VI code is about taxation and finance. And we got a lot of different funds, the government funds. And in this particular case, the fund that we're talking about is the Virgin Islands Historic District Reconstruction and Rehabilitation Revolving Fund. And the Commissioner of Finance, shall maintain and provide for the administration of the fund as a separate and distinct fund in the Treasury, and no amounts therein shall be available for expenditure or disbursement except as provided in this section, and all monies in the fund shall remain available until expended. And from time to time, the legislature, via monetary grants, gifts, donations, bequests, or devices to the fund, and deposits could be made into the fund. And there's also, I believe, some of the revenues from the casino revenue fund, a percentage of that goes into the fund as well.
And the person who has jurisdiction, the group that has jurisdiction over that?
Is the
Historic Preservation.
Correct. That's Mr. Krieger, right?
That's correct. As the and Commissioner Oreo as the State Historic Preservation Officer.
Mm-hmm. Monies in the fund shall be disbursed in the form of loans by the Commissioner of Finance at the direction of the Historic Preservation Commission, exclusively to qualified borrowers as approved by the Historic Preservation Commission for design, development, and actual reconstruction for these homes and businesses in the Tongue District. So these are things we're looking back at. We need to really, do what we can to get our tongues back to where we want them to be, Mr. Scott Jr.
What makes you eligible for that program? That's a question.
Well, part of the challenge, so that you're aware, part of the challenge is that I did request how much, because every once a year on a Tuesday or a Monday or something like that is supposed to report how much money is in the funds. And my understanding is that there are very limited or no money in the fund at this time.
Mm-hmm.
So we would have to go forward to the Senate in order to request those money.
Okay, yeah. So I think what we need...
And DPNR indicated that they would.
Well, one of the things that we need to find out now is, what's the balance? Where are we? And what can we do? And can this work in concert with the project that the governor them trying to do, right? I remember the governor them had town hall meetings, as was mentioned by one of my listeners, earlier, right? Maybe we could figure out how we the reality is we need to get in the same sheet of music. You know what I'm saying? Same page. A lot of people have a lot of ideas, but everybody coming from a different direction. You know, we really need to have some consensus as to how to maximize, you know, development, because that's what this is about. In this case, it's actually redevelopment. Ms. Machina, Ken.
Absolutely. I think that there are opportunities available, but I think first we must sit down and say, okay, we're a part of this and we need to step forward and take action. I think after that, we can look at different steps. The pilot program, as I indicated, will provide you know, some guidance on how do you go about getting to this state. I don't talk to my sister. How do I get about doing that?
Well, you know, human relations is a part of this deal, you know, and you need communication. And the last thing you want is for a family feud to last so long that it gets to the point that by the time you're actually trying to do something, it has deteriorated. And Mr. Scott spoke about, use the word ruins. You know, we think of ruins. When we think of ruins, we think about the Butler Bay. You know what I mean? Down there, out there in the wilderness. But it actually exists in our tongue areas as well, Mr. Scott.
Yep.
What are we trying to accomplish as it relates to the conference? Is this mostly informational? Get people to be a little bit more knowledgeable about what's going on, and how to take the necessary steps to address the blighted areas and blighted property.
So I would say all of the above. I would say every year for the past 3 years we've been getting more people attending. I would say this is more to plan ahead. You know, some people, I'm going to be very blunt with it, but you don't know when you're going to pass away. Mm-hmm. So this is a step, and this is the information you might need, especially if you know you have children or grandchildren. You want to plan ahead, set a will, get all those issues out of the way, sit down, get the information from the professionals, so that in the event that you do pass away unexpectedly, those buildings are not, especially the buildings in the historic district and in towns, you will prevent something like having multiple owners, family issues, a building being, you know, broken down, like I said before, turning into ruins. It's just like an introduction, and not really just an introduction, but you're getting some important information on how you could prevent this and you could plan for the future.
Excellent. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. We're talking here with Miss Nadine Machina Ken. She's adopted the name of Frank today. And of course, the one only Wynn Scott Jr. Now we gotta have a little fun, you know what I'm saying? Can't be, I need you to let on your hair, you know what I mean? We good. Mr. Wynn Scott Jr. There's an estate planning conference taking place on Wednesday, March 20th. And it's an afternoon conference, right? Virtual or morning? Yeah.
It's online and it's in person on board at St. Croix and St. Thomas.
Okay, good. When we come back, we'll get back into the details for that as well. A great conversation so far. And I also got a history lesson from Frank this morning. So we appreciate that. Thank you, Ms. Nadine Machina Ken. Be back right after this.
Extraordinary women who forge their own answers to a profound question.
As a Black woman, how does it feel to be free?
Lena Horne, Abby Lincoln.
They blaze such a trail.
Nina Simone.
Voice of the civil rights movement.
Cicely Tyson.
Accepted for her talent alone.
Diane Carroll.
We're at a new crossroad.
Pam Grier.
First female action hero in American film.
Look for How It Feels to Be Free.
We'll see what happens here.
On American Masters.
Tune in March 9th at 8 p.m. on WTJX TV Channel 12.
There are many complex issues that arise in our territory.
Comes with the Territory with Leslie Comision.
Join me, Leslie Comision, for a breakdown of political issues facing our territory, one conversation at a time.
I'm here to be the voice you can rely on for information that is straightforward and comprehensive. Tune in to be a part of the discussion. It all comes with the territory.
Comes with the Territory airs Sundays at 1 p.m. and re-airs at 7 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
The PBS NewsHour has a rich legacy of in-depth reporting and strong storytelling.
Only four people have sat in that chair before us, and the enormity of this moment is not lost on me. People turn to us because they know they can hear from trusted sources of information and news.
That won't change a bit, even as the faces behind the desk change.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett.
And I'm Amna Nawaz.
Weekdays at 7 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
Back here and analyze this. We got the good folks from the EDA. There's a conference coming up on Wednesday. It's an estate planning conference. We have a problem here in the Virgin Islands. So a lot of our properties in our enterprise zone areas, our town areas, are derelict, and we're trying to see what we can do to help facilitate the process. Joining me this morning, we got Miss Nadine Machina Ken from Out of the Rock. And Mr. Wayne Scott Jr. From here on the Big Island. Good morning to both of you. I'm glad to have you on Analyze this morning.
Yes, and good morning again.
Mm-hmm. So, details again, Mr. Scott, time, access, all that good stuff.
All right, so the Estate Planning Conference will be held next week, Wednesday, March 20th, from 5:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. You can attend in person on both St. Croix or St. Thomas, and you can attend on Zoom. The in-person location in St. Croix is the University of the Virgin Islands Great Hall. And in St. Thomas, it will be the Frederick Lutheran Church in town. And also, as said before, you can attend on Zoom. Now, I want to say again for the listening audience, the event is free. The only thing you have to do is register. Registration is mandatory and space in person is limited. So you can register by calling either the St. Croix EDA's phone number or the St. Thomas EDA's phone number. The St. Croix's number is 340-773-6499. 340-773-6499. And the St. Thomas number is 340-714-1700. 340-714-1700. And you can also register online at our website, which is www.usbieda.org. You must register before March 18th, if I did not say so.
So the registration for the Wednesday event, the deadline for that is Monday?
Yes, Monday, March 18th.
Okay, good.
And registration is mandatory.
That's what I'm talking about. So, Ms. Machina Ken, you know I got to ask you this question. It's a common thing. You know, when St. John, when crews begin into the fall, man?
I know we're getting a lot of requests. Well, not a lot, but we're getting requests from St. John. And at this point, we have not done anything in St. John. You know, the enterprise zones are actually in St. Thomas and in St. Croix.
That's what,
right?
I'm saying. No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I want to know, when Cruz Bay and St. John will get into the Enterprise Zone 4, you know what I mean?
You know, that's
that's a legislature thing, right?
By the Senate.
Yeah.
The Senate or the governor of the Virgin Islands.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me educate the public as to the process. Yeah, that's what I want us to educate,
right,
the public.
Mm-hmm. We're just implementing. That's what we do. And so, and I, as I'm getting ready to retire in a couple of years, you know, this the team that's taking over, you're going to hear more from them.
But we're talking to one of them now.
Absolutely.
I know the young man. He should be. Let me see. Should be making maybe he's 30. Let me see. Hold on. He should be making about 31 or 32 this year, thereabouts. 33.
No. You know his older brother.
That's the older brother. Correct. Now I know you're going. He's part of that what you were speaking about before, Miss Machina Ken. Multi generational virginal. You know what I'm saying? And we got a constitutional convention coming up, right? And maybe. Remember one of the issues that we had that really undermined it was this native rights thing. But what we really need to focus on, right, is putting, you know, document real-time, real effect documents, documentation language in the document that speaks to a visionary approach about how we want the Virgin Islands to be reflected going forward. And, it is estate planning conferences like this, you know, will help us to shape, you know, that vision. And we need to make sure that we protect all the islands and our culture and our tongue areas as well. So that's why I asked about Cruise Bay, because I don't want the people in St. John to believe that everything is about Charlotte Amali. Christians that are registered at Cruise Bay, you know, does have value. And at some point, the legislature needs to look at how we could, you know, at least parse off a area in the Cruise Bay area to be an enterprise zone. That's just my, and you know, I can't force anything on anybody, but that's just my thinking. So we could be all inclusive, Miss Machina Ken. I hope you didn't get caught off. Hello? Yeah, it looked like we got caught off there. Oh, there we go. There we go. You're back on now? Or maybe they can't hear me. Ms. Machina, can you hear? Hello? Mr. Scott? Yeah, it looked like...
I just got disconnected, but I am now back.
Oh, you're back on. Okay, good.
Me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Good, yeah. Mr. Scott, you there?
Mm-hmm.
I guess not, but...
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, there we go. We had dealing with a gremlin there. But what I was saying, Ms. Machina Ken, is, you know, with the Constitutional Convention coming up, these are the type of things, the importance of a planning conference like this are important because they could provide so much information to help us shape the document going forward.
I agree wholeheartedly. It is something that, you know, as we look, and I think part of it is understanding our history in general. As we look at some of the things that have been brought forward and how what got us to this point, I think it will help us with going forward. Understanding how to resolve some issues that are presented to us will help us go forward. I am really interested in seeing this process, this time around, to see if we could get out of the quagmire that we find ourselves in. I'm hopeful. Truly hopeful.
Mr. Scott, how, if I attend this conference and I come away impressed, you know, with what is made available to us. I got some money. We don't have any issues or we just cleared a family issue and I got title to properties in the enterprise zone. What's the next step after that hypothetical situation?
What do you mean with like rehabilitation?
Correct. Reinvestment. Is there a master plan, a tongue plan? Because you don't want to encourage development that's going to conflict with how you want the town to look. Give me some guidance.
So we do have a tax credit program and a zone plan program, but it sunsetted, I believe, last week or the week before, right, maybe? Last week or the week before? 20. March. Well, okay, we do have a Zoom.
So the plan, there is the, he's talking about the exemptions under the plan program that did sunset for three of the zones, but we expect that the Senate will reenact that section of the code so that we could continue to offer exemptions. Right now, we can still offer tax credits to people within most of the zones. But there is a community, there are community plans. The community meets every now and then to basically talk about what they want for their community. There is existing community plan for each community. And so those plans really speak to the types of things. For instance, the town of Christiansted would like to have more people residing within the town, and they would like to college town community. That college understanding, that bringing students to live upstairs, that, you know, to have life after 5 o'clock in the town. The arts, really critical to how Christiansted sees its future, you know, and arts and museums and so forth. That is what Christiansted has asked for. Frederickstead wants food and technology and sports, and feel that those things are going to uplift and bring forward the things that they want for their town. On the island of St. Thomas, Garden Street up street, looking at sports and arts as the things that will bring to life, you know, their neighborhoods and their communities. Savan down street, food, you know, and things like that. All of them want places of learning.
Mm-hmm. And we also have the rehabilitation program, rejuvenation program, where we pretty much do scrape and paints or board ups. I think Nadine spoke about the board ups before. But understand now, especially in the historic district, you have to get approval from the historic preservation. And working on historic buildings in general can be very expensive. So keep in mind, funding is kind of low. So that's the next program we do offer to people who is in the enterprise zone.
Then you also got to reach out to the legislator. You got to reach out to the legislator to see if we could get appropriation, get some help.
Certainly, part of once you get an education for ownership of a property, now there are loans available and grants available sometimes to assist you in repairing that building. We have joined with our lending unit to assist a couple of people with purchasing a building and getting tax benefits, purchasing a building for a business purpose and getting tax benefits at the same time. So we're trying to do wraparound services at the Virgin Islands Economic Development Authority. We work in collaboration with other units of government, with public agencies and nonprofits and private organizations as well, to try to bring everything that we could bring to the table to assist the people of the Virgin Islands in various different ways. And so we look forward to continuing to do that. This conference is one of those things. We'll be bringing attorneys from the private sector to offer information, not legal advice, but information. And with that information, we believe that it will give you enough to be able to start to prepare so that you can step forward and deal with these buildings. Remember, your great-grandfather owned a building someplace. And yes, you may be one of 57 individuals, but it just takes one to step forward and start the ball running.
Without a doubt. And don't forget, you know, I do my mercenary work on behalf of the RT Park. We're also looking at some innovation district work in St. Thomas as well. Some of those historic buildings down there in downtown Shaltamale for redevelopment. So that the suggestion that and the vision that you're talking about for downtown Christians that people live in their tongues, and we want more of that for Shal Tamale as well. Okay? So don't forget that, Ms. Machina. Can at some point we're going to sit down and talk with you to let you know how we can make that work, maybe collaboratively. But there are some buildings in downtown Shal Tamale that have been abandoned, barren, derelict, whatever term you want to use, and we're trying to see if we can make that work. I'd like to thank both of you for making some time to join us this morning. I wish you success with the estate planning conference. Mr. Scott Jr., that's scheduled for March 20th, 5:30 to 8 p.m., but you have to register by Monday, March 18th, right?
Correct.
And that happens how? By calling or accessing online?
So you can do both. You can call St. Croix EDA's office number at 340-773-6499 or St. Thomas office number at 340-714-1700. And you can register on our website at www.usvieda.org.
Thank you very much. Ms. Machina Ken, a.k.a. Frank, for an hour on Friday, March 15th. Thank you very much for joining us.
I thank you so much. Remember, just because you do your estate planning does not mean that you're going to fall long dead tomorrow, okay?
No. Yeah. I don't
mean that you need to.
You need to exercise. We're just asking everyone to exercise some vision and, exude a forward-thinking approach with respect to properties and all that stuff. Thanks to both of you. Enjoy the weekend and good luck with the estate planning conference coming up on Wednesday.
Thank you.
At 5:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. UVI Great Hall on St. Croix, Frederick Lutheran Church on St. Thomas. And you could also go online.
And we'll have refreshments at the site.
Refreshment at the site as well.
Yes.
I might get a time at Saco Dokina after Center Line Road at Dokina and say I come to check out the STA conference and get me a day in a show, so just to keep eye honest. Just having some fun with that. Hey, be good. Thank you very much. Appreciate you. Okay?
Have a pleasant day.
Okay, good. Hey, Mr. Scott, you did well on your initial appearance. Analyze this, man. Don't be a stranger. Come on back. All right?
He won't be, for sure.
You got it. Tell grandma and say hello.
All right.
Clear that more head from out of the east. Good looking out. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for joining us on the show this morning. Definitely want to give a shout out to Stan Joins. Don't forget St. Patrick's Day Parade tomorrow, 11 a.m. Trying to get a chariot up front so they can circumnavigate Christiansted Hospital Street. Come around Company Market onto King. Be good and be safe. Talk to you on Monday, God willing. Bye bye.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday. In these divided times, what could be more important than a conversation? Conversation with someone we don't know, someone we think we know, someone with whom we disagree or think we do. Join us as we ask questions of politicians, ranchers, parents, athletes, activists, gardeners, writers, and lots more. Then listen along with you.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTGX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Music can be an incredibly personal experience. A song can inspire you, it can comfort you, it can make you feel understood, it can even take you back to a specific moment in your life. And it all begins with the artist. Join me, Raina Duras, as I get personal through in-depth interviews with your favorite musicians and find out where those songs come from on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.